The words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 19, verses 1 to 7. It is page 220 in the New Testament. Allow me to read Acts chapter 19, verses 1 to 7. While Apollo was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. Amen.
Until they reached the time in today's passage, Paul and Apollos of Alexandria have never met before. Paul never sent a letter to Apollos, asking to take care of the church in Corinth, of which he had established. Paul and Apollos lived in different space, environment, and situation, and each did their best in their lives, abiding to the Lord's guidance. But the Lord sent Apollos, who was armed with the gospel through Priscilla and Aquila in Ephesus, to Corinth, where Paul had left. He also made Paul, who started his third evangelical tour, have a long stay in Ephesus for the works in then Asia Minor, or today's Turkey, and mysteriously achieved his providence for that time. And now we give praise to the Lord who is among us, to fulfill his providence for this age. Paul, who started his third evangelical trip from Antioch to Phrygia and Galatia, and then revisited Ephesus as he promised, met some disciples there. As we have studied in detail last time, they have never even heard of the presence of the Holy Spirit. All they knew about was the baptism of John the Baptist, like Apollos did in the past. In other words, their knowledge was limited to the early life of Jesus Christ. Paul let them learn of Jesus the Messiah, whom John the Baptist had prophesied when he was alive, and they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Paul set his hand on their heads, while baptizing them, the Holy Spirit, which none of them had even a clue about just a moment ago, came to them. It wasn't like they have made any efforts to receive salvation through the Lord, but they were given the grace of salvation, which can only be attained by believing in Jesus Christ on the cross through the Lord's Spirit. Let us look into verse 6 of today's passage. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. At the same time the Holy Spirit came upon them, there was another phenomenon that happened to all 12 of them. They all spoke in tongues and prophesied, as if they promised to do so. The speaking in tongues and prophesying was the proof that the Holy Spirit had came upon them, so to speak. We will discuss about the prophecy mentioned in today's passage next time, and today we will think about speaking in tongue. Usually, people perceive speaking in tongue as the words of heaven that comes out from one's mouth when in a spiritual trance, which cannot be understood with our earthly minds. That is why it is considered the easiest way to verify the Holy Spirit that came unto a Christian. Surely, the experience of your tongue twisting and spilling out words that you cannot understand from your own mouth is an easy way to assure the presence of the Holy Spirit. But there is a side effect that existed from 2,000 years ago regarding speaking tongue. To perceive this only as a mysterious external phenomenon. The side effect was such that Christians regarded speaking in tongue as a means to show off themselves and determine who's superior or inferior to another, thus making those who do not speak in tongue feel relatively inferior to those who do. In the book of Corinthians, a letter sent to the church of Corinth, Paul used the whole chapter of 14 to deal with speaking in tongue. This was how much grave the side effect of using speaking in tongue as a way to show off themselves among the Christians in Corinth was. Paul encouraged the Christians in Corinth as follows. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 18-19. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. But in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Paul was capable of speaking in tongue more than anyone else. However, Paul encouraged that in public places, it was much better to speak 5 intelligible words, of which both the speaker and the listener can understand, than to speak 10,000 words in a tongue of which no one could understand. This is because praying or speaking in a tongue in a public place is only an act of arrogance to show off oneself, unlike the true purpose of which the Holy Spirit has granted us. There have been side effects in regards to speaking in tongues in Korean churches as well. The result is due to acknowledging it only as a mere mysterious external phenomenon. If the speaking in tongues of some disciples from today's passage only ended up as such external phenomenon, the side effect would have accompanied in their lives of faith before long. In their words and tongues, if their words and tongues that came out of their mouths at the same time the Holy Spirit came upon them carries absolute value in them, this is only because they were speaking in tongues in a true sense. So, in order to properly get the grasp of speaking in tongues, first you must understand its original meaning, the true sense that is shown in the book of Acts. The historical fact of when the spiritual gift of the Holy Spirit, in other words, the speaking in tongues, was first given to people in the Bible is recorded in the 2nd chapter of the book of Acts. I've studied Acts chapter 2 in detail 9 years ago. And when the Holy Spirit came to the apostles on Pentecost, they suddenly started speaking in tongues. This was something that has never happened to them before. A spiritual gift from the Holy Spirit that came to them. So there are some Christian bodies and churches in Korea that insist the speaking in tongues of heaven, among all of the spiritual gifts, is the only proof of receiving the Holy Spirit. This is due to a wrong understanding of the meaning of the gift of tongues that was granted to the apostles on Pentecost for the first time. The first words in tongues of the apostles at the same time of the events of the Holy Spirit 2,000 years ago were not mysterious heavenly words that people could not understand. Acts chapter 2, verses 5 through 13 explains the situation. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus in Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the words of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They have had too much wine.' At least 16 of the places mentioned in the passage were basically the whole world to the Jewish people. At the site where the apostles were speaking in tongues were the diaspora Jews from all over the world who visited Jerusalem just in time for the Pentecost. These Jewish people set their roots in foreign lands from several centuries ago. Thus, each used different local languages as their mother tongues. But when the apostles were speaking in tongues, strangely, everyone heard the apostles speak in their respective languages. Most of the apostles were uneducated fishermen who have never been to school. They have never received any formal educations, so they never had a chance to learn any other languages. So they all spoke in their own mother tongue, the Hebrews, like they always used to, but people gathered around. All heard it in their own languages. It's hard to communicate if the language is different. To have a different language not only means having different ways of expressing things, but it also means having different ways of thinking and understanding. The uneducated Galilean apostles did not know any other language at all. They had no way of communicating with those who used other languages. For them, language was an enormous barrier which they could not overcome on their own. However, when the Holy Spirit descended upon them, they were able to have conversations with the people who used foreign languages, which they usually weren't able to. The communication began. As such, The true meaning of the speaking in tongues that was first granted for the apostles in the presence of the Holy Spirit was the communication between people who used different languages. This is why the Greek word for speaking in tongue, or glossa, is a word which originally means tongue or language. It's just like English, which tongue can also mean language. People who gathered in Jerusalem that used foreign languages as their mother tongue were surprised at the fact that they were hearing what uneducated apostles were saying in their own languages. Among them were also people who mocked the apostles, saying they have had too much wine. The words in tongue that the apostles spoke were that much bizarre. The time was 9 o'clock in the morning. Peter strongly stressed that they were not drunk at all, not in the morning so early. Quoting Joel's prophecy on the event of the Holy Spirit, in order to testify that they are speaking in tongues with the results of the Holy Spirit coming down upon them. Let us look into Acts chapter 3, 17 to 20. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come to the Lord, come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. It is indeed peculiar. Did not Peter use Prophet Joel's prophecy in order to prove that the Holy Spirit is with them now? But on the morning when the Holy Spirit descended upon them, nothing that Joel prophesied actually happened in front of people. No sons and daughters of the apostles prophesied. No young men saw visions. No old men dreamt dreams. There were no wonders in the heavens above, nor were there signs on the earth below. And there was no supernatural phenomenon of sun turning to darkness, or the moon to blood, because of the event of the Holy Spirit. If it was for to prove the descending of the Holy Spirit, it seems that Peter mistakenly made a wrong reference of using Joel's prophecy. But do you really think that this was a mistake by Peter? If so, Peter's reference should have not been recorded in the book of Acts as the words of God. The reason why Peter used the book of Joel, even though nothing in Joel's prophecy happened in reality, was because the spiritual gift of the speaking in tongues that enable communication between people who use different languages was the most certain proof in regards to the event of the Holy Spirit, more than Joel's prophecy. To live as a Christian in the Holy Spirit means not only the renewing of one's life, but also means building new relationship with other people as a result. In order for this to be possible, there needs to be a prerequisite: communication with other people. In this sense, the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues, which enabled communications with people which used to be impossible, is truly important. This may be the only proof that the Lord's Spirit or the Holy Spirit, but this can be the biggest proof, because love, peace, symbiosis, and evangelism are all possible only on the base of communication. In the 8th lecture, The Spiritual Gift of the Holy Spirit, from Mature Believers class, we learned that all external gifts should be sublimated to internal gift. If the speaking of mysterious heavenly words is the external gift of speaking in tongues, then being able to communicate with a person whom you had a difficult time communicating with is the internal gift of speaking in tongues. You can easily fall into the trap of arrogance of showing yourself off through the external gift of speaking in tongues, which seems splendid on the outside. But the internal gift, which enables communication between people, will deepen and broaden your relationships with other people the more you receive it. If the speaking in tongues of some disciples in today's passage possess an absolute significance, then that is because their speaking in tongues did not end up at being temporary external gifts, but were led to becoming internal gifts that enable communication with other people, like that of the Lord's apostles on the day of Pentecost. Almost every one of us use Korean as our mother language, except for those in English services on the 4th floor. However, there are more cases where people can't communicate with each other among people who use same Korean language. Married couples who live and talk in Korean under the same roof. Co-workers who work in the same office. Fellow believers who go to the same church. There are too many who cannot communicate with other people. This is because, formally speaking, we all use the same language, Korean. But in fact, we all talk in different languages using Korean. If people do not try to listen to each other, it is no better than each person using different language to one another, no matter how much they speak in Korean. The vocalization of languages occur in the mouth and throat. That the fundamental starting points of languages start from the heart. But let's think deeply about it before our Lord. If a husband and a wife who lives lives of faith cannot communicate with each other, each using different language, can you really consider them to be true Christians who received the Lord as their master? If a Christian liberalist and a Christian conservative cannot communicate, each insisting to use different language, can you really consider them as the Lord's true disciples that embraces this age? The late pastor Han Kyung-jik, the first chairman of the 100th Anniversary Memorial Foundation, which is the matrix of our church, was a prominent figure from the conservatives, which represented Korean Protestantism. On the other hand, the second chairman, Pastor Kang Won-young, was a leading figure from the liberalists in Korean Protestantism. Pastor Kang used to be the vice chairman of the foundation when Pastor Han was alive. Ideologically, standing against each other at each end, it was only at the 100th anniversary memorial foundation in which the two pastors have served together as chairman and vice chairman when they were alive. Their ideology, view of faith, and of life were completely different, but proved it to the world that they can always communicate and understand each other and serve together in Jesus Christ through the foundation. These two were gifted with the internal gift of speaking in tongues, so to speak. And we are fellow believers at the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church who have succeeded their baton of communication. Our Lord did not bear the cross to support either the conservatives or the liberalists. His right arm for conservatives, his left for liberalists. The Lord's two hands were nailed to the cross to embrace all of them. Not to choose sides for the husband or wife, but to embrace both of them all at once. Our Lord has stretched out his arms on the cross, not just for myself, but also for that other person whom I can't communicate properly with. Our Lord's both hands were sacrificed on the cross. This is the reason why Jesus is the Lord for everyone, regardless of your gender or age. Not the Lord for certain persons, regions, or groups. If you're a Christian who served that Christ Jesus, if you believe that Lord is inside me, then we all have to speak in tongues. Last month, I've been to Busan for a while. There was a gallery on the way, so I went in there and saw a humongous board which took up space of an entire wall. There were so many, and among all the scribbling, there was one that caught my eyes. The thirsty will dig for a well. The rich will buy the well. The rich will sell water, and the thirsty will work to buy water. There couldn't be any much better appropriate expressions for today's situation. People try to possess and control anything with their money. Water comes out from the well. All try to quench their thirst. People who have money buy up the well, and they sell the water in the well with money. People who used to drink it free have to work even harder to buy that water. People try to possess and control anything with their money. In a situation which you are trying to take over well, there cannot be a true communication between those people. But if people involved in the well do not see the well as an object to possess or control, and become good protectors of the well, then the communication will become smoother and deeper as days go by. In our communication with someone, we need to communicate with is blocked. That it means we're trying to monopolize the well that our Lord has entrusted us. We all have a well each, which Jesus has entrusted us to. In that well, there is more than just something that defines as water. Inside the well are our time, talents, knowledge, ideology, emotions, are everything. If you try to monopolize that well to yourself, you will grow apart from other people, no matter how much you speak in Korean. Christians should become protectors of the well which our Lord has appointed us. We need to use everything inside the well for the goodwill of the Lord, realizing and accepting the fact that the well belongs to God. That is when we can become true actors of the true speaking in tongues, who adamantly refuse the wrong and the gloomy reality of Korea, where conflict, division, and cutting off is rampant. Doing this by ourselves is impossible. But with the help of Jesus Christ, who entrusted his will to each of us and died on the cross for our sake, everything is possible. Our Lord is already with us to help us live that way, and has allowed us to live inside Him. Let us pray. Father God, Jesus has sacrificed his both hands in order to embrace and stroke the husband and the wife, parents and children, brothers and sisters, employers and employees, conservatives and liberalists, the ruling party and the opposition party, all alike with both his arms. That was why Jesus became the Lord of all. And that was why Matthew, a tax collector and pawn of the Roman Empire, and Simon, who tried to gain independence using force, were able to communicate inside Jesus Christ. We thank you for that Lord is already inside us and allowed us to be inside the Lord as well. Let us all grow to resemble Jesus with the Lord's help and live on to take after Jesus. Let us not forget that each of us are the keepers of the well that the Lord has entrusted us to. Let us use that in what's inside the well only for the goodwill of the Lord. And let us thus become the true actors of speaking in tongue, who spread communication between people, while at the same time standing against the wrong, amidst the heartbreaking reality of a country, where the division and conflict of the people from all social standings tear the hearts of the people. Conflict and division happen in a blink of an eye. Before the recovery of communication and integration, someone has to serve as a grain of wheat that needs to rot for a long time. So let us, who have taken you as our leader, take the responsibility for our country. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.